Important dates in Christian history. 1517. Martin Luther posts his 95 Theses, a simple invitation for scholarly debate that inadvertently becomes a hinge of history. Luther's challenge to the sale of indulgences sparked the Reformation and changed the face of the world. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Is God having a cultural moment? This is Wretched Radio. If you follow any of the Christian websites, news sources, there have been a fair amount of articles and headlines proclaiming God is back because there are a number of things that are happening in culture that weren't happening, say, before January 20th. That those things apparently just were kind of stifled, but now it seems that there's a lot of talk about Christianity in the public square, and there's a lot of good stuff that's happening coming out of Washington that indicates maybe we all haven't lost our minds, and maybe we are returning to common sense. John Stone Street at Breakpoint. Formerly Chuck Colson was the leader of Breakpoint, now John Stone Street. I like John. I've never met him. His sensibilities, I don't think I've read anything where I went, Spock guy. What's up with that guy? He rightly asked the question, is God having a cultural moment? Because people are proclaiming that it is. Look at this. Joe Rogan, he had Wes Huff on his show. And to that I say, praise God. I think that's awesome. I really do. Joe Rogan talking about Christianity, I think it gives permission to a lot of young men to at least ask about it without feeling kind of embarrassed. Because if a dude like Joe Rogan is asking a Christian apologist about Jesus Christ, the veracity of the Bible, then I think that they feel emboldened to do likewise. And I'm grateful for that. That's an awesome thing. There have been other obvious public displays of curiosity about Jesus Christ. And he cites some of these, by the way, in his article from Breakpoint. Jordan Peterson, for instance, Jordan Peterson, by the way, I went to listen to some of Jordan Peterson's treatment of the Gospels. I think we shared a little bit of it here. Maybe we did a YouTube video. It was an 8-minute long video about what the gospel is. And I wanted to hear it with great hope that maybe, just maybe, the guy would understand the gospel. This is his gospel exploration, the real meanings of the gospel, without having a conservative theologian on the entire panel, having Dennis Prager, who's not even a Christian, on the panel. It was such a dog's breakfast. I was going to bring it in. It was like, okay, we'll listen to this and maybe we'll hear something great. Maybe we'll hear something helpful. It was so abstract. It was so confusing and otherly. It's as if somebody they were asked, how do you change the oil? And they started to describe how you slice a watermelon. But how did you? But what did the oil have to with it? Seedless? Is that how you cut the water? Do you do it this way or the slice it, or do you do it in chunks and quart? But what does that have to do with changing? I kid you not. It was that much of a mess. It was just such a mess. Nevertheless, I think Jordan Peterson's exploration of Christianity, for better or for worse, and unfortunately, and I don't have joy in stating this, it's mostly for worse. It does give people the ability to say, hey, let's talk about this stuff. It's not so geeky. John Stone Street, there's the former new atheist, Ayan Hirsi Ali. She became a Christian. We hope that that's true. Tom Holland's best-selling book, former atheist, changed the narrative about the positive role of Christianity in Western civilization, which it is undeniable that that is the case. And to that I say, cool, that's nice. Am I effusive about it? I'll tell you in a moment. Boise State head coach Spencer Danielson praised Jesus at the Fiesta Bowl. Baltimore Ravens head coach John Harbaugh led his team in the Lord's Prayer. Well, he's Roman Catholic, by the way. God talk on and off the field has been conspicuous this season. Bible sales up 22% last year. It looks like things are turning more positive toward Christianity. Now, of course, depending on how you define that, I'm very grateful that these things are happening, that there's at least more of a culture where Christian views can be expressed without like, oh, you guys are stupid and racist and sexist and you're Neanderthalic. You just need to stifle it, Edith. I'm glad for it. But that has virtually nothing to do with the kingdom of God. You say, wait a second, though. If people are talking more about Jesus, people are going to get saved. That has to do with the kingdom of God. What Joe Rogan is up to, I'm glad for it. I'm glad that he's exploring it, not being hostile toward Christianity. That is a good thing. But it's not a kingdom thing. It's a cultural thing. And John Stone Street does a good job of bringing that out. He quotes a fellow named Justin Brierley. He hosts the Unbelievable podcast. He wrote a book called The Surprising Rebirth of Belief in God. He thinks the wider turning of the secular tide in the West is a result of secularism's failed predictions. A couple of decades ago, new atheists promised a rational utopia in the wake of religious decline. Remember the three horsemen of the apocalypse? Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens, Sam Harris. We need rationalism. We need humanism. It's going to be wonderful. And instead of delivering on its promise, it created a crisis of meaning. What am I doing here? Confusion, mental health, especially in the young, culture wars. Now, a new theist movement has sprung up. And even those not converting to Christ have toned down the anti-Christian rhetoric. Some are even suggesting faith is good for the world. And to that I say, I'm glad. But notice my lack of jumping for joy and clicking my heels. I'm glad for it, but I want to make sure that I understand where it fits in the pecking order. I'm glad for this as much as I'm glad that a business that was once floundering has now gotten itself into the black and it's operating well and they're paying the employees better. I'm glad for that. But that does not affect the kingdom of God. It is only when souls are saved. Brierley cautions that what we're seeing is far from a revival. Many of the cultural Christians of our movement aren't even believers. There's a big difference between regarding Christianity as a useful fiction, that's Jordan Peterson basically, that's able to restore vigor and cohesion to the West, and submitting to it as the ultimate truth that demands our allegiance and devotion. I'm quoting from the article. For the millions of new Bible owners, the difference is between looking for sage advice and looking for God. Neither a better world nor a better you is what Christianity fundamentally offers. Well done, John. And well done to this Mr. Brierley. There's a difference. And while I'm grateful for some of the cultural progress that seems to be made, there's a number of political stories. I know everybody's just happy as a clam that we're defending two genders again. And that, hey, there's only two gametes that can be produced. That's, by the way, I think what Health and Human Services just posted on their website. There's only two genders because of two gametes. And if somebody has some other sort of characteristics because they don't produce a third gamete, that doesn't create a third gender. There are two genders. Now, that's basically like saying water is wet. And it just reveals how ludicrous our culture has become. And now my understanding is the governor of Wisconsin, I don't know what he signed or what he said, not going to call them pregnant women anymore. Inseminated human. Honestly, that is just crazy. That's just crazy. How does somebody who thinks like that hold high office in the dairy state? Bonkers. And so when HHS and when Donald Trump signs an executive order that there are only two genders and that men shouldn't be participating in women's sports, I'm glad, but I'm not losing my mind ecstatic as if somehow the kingdom is affected by that. I don't know what your eschatology is, if you're a one kingdom or two kingdom person. We live in this world, and so we can rejoice when good things like this happen. But I'm not going to be ecstatic because nobody's getting saved from it. I'm glad children will be protected. That's a wonderful thing. But that doesn't mean the kingdom is being expanded. Final quote from John Stone Street. Those hoping to make him useful overlook that the West did not become a great civilization because people believed Christianity offered good advice. But they believed it was true. That is a radical difference. Jordan Peterson is missing that totally. You cannot pull out the Bible thread of Western civilization's tapestry and have it remain a garment. It would just fall apart. Right. So what we need to do, concludes people like Jordan Peterson, is get Christianity woven back into the fabric of Western civilization, and that'll make it better again. No, it won't. No, that's not how Christianity works. Christianity isn't a fortune cookie. It's not a self-help book. It is about being in a right relationship with God. And the people who made Western civilization great, they didn't just use Christianity to create a really groovy civilization. They created a groovy civilization because they believed it was true. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Thanks to faithful supporters just like you, our new Fortis Institute podcasts aren't just reaching people, they're making waves. Every single one of our new shows ranks at least in the top 10% of all podcasts worldwide, some climbing even higher than that. From Integrated with Dr. John Krotz to Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, these programs are doing exactly what they were intended to do. They're touching lives and they're transforming hearts. But here's the thing, we can't continue this vital work without your help. As we face this brave new world together, I want to ask if you would consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Only if you're already faithfully giving to your local church, though, and not strapped by any type of unmanaged debt. If those areas in your life are in order, would you consider joining us? Because your support will help us produce even more life-changing content. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
What if you could strengthen your marriage in just minutes a day? Well, we're making that possible and easier than ever before, because now through the end of the month, we're giving away our resource Drive By Marriage completely free at fortisplus.org. And also don't forget to pick up the study guide absolutely free as well. Drive By Marriage gives you 31 powerful bite-sized lessons that fit into your busy schedule. And with the study guide, you're going to get deeper insights and practical exercises to apply what you're learning. This complete marriage building package has helped couples grow closer to each other and closer to God. You're going to discover keys to better communication, biblical solutions for resolving conflict, and ways to build lasting trust and intimacy. Don't miss this opportunity. Visit FortisPlus.org now to get your free digital copy of Drive By Marriage and the study guide. Remember, the special offer ends at the end of the month. Head to FortisPlus.org right now. It's Drive By Marriage, because a few minutes a day can transform your marriage forever. FortisPlus.org.
Know your church fathers. Tertullian was a well-trained Greco-Roman philosopher. When he converted to Christianity, he used his great learning to vigorously defend Christianity. Tertullian rejected secular philosophy and is famously quoted as saying, "What hath Athens to do with Jerusalem?"
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We have our winner. This is Wretched Radio. If you've been wondering who has the title of quote du jour, the answer would be the president of Unite Us, capital U, capital S. I guess it stands for United States, although they don't have periods, so I don't know why us is capitalized. Nevertheless, being interviewed, because they're going to different campuses, as we shared last week, the University of Kentucky, where they're gathering them together. Elevation is doing a worship show, and then there's some preaching, and then people are getting baptized. And I will say it again. I hope kids are getting saved. I genuinely hope kids are getting saved. Now, that is not an endorsement of everything that they're doing. But if the gospel is being proclaimed and people are responding, I fear that we'll see the fallaway rate that we have seen from virtually every sort of great gathering of a crusade, if you will, that people can't be found in a context of a local church when everything is said and done. The statistics are quite shocking. Ray Comfort covers them, I believe, in Hell's Best Kept Secret. I think it's God Has a Wonderful Plan for Your Life. It was the book that he wrote that really is a must read. It will simply bring clarity to you as to why there's such tchotchke glop in evangelical Christianity. We basically lost the scent. We've forgotten what the gospel is, that it's about forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. And by the way, just as an aside, I fear that we're being deceived into being confused about a God cultural moment, people talking about God and genuine conversion. When was the last time on a big high-profile podcast you heard somebody talk about God's character and nature being holy, righteous, and just, and furious at sin, furious at sinners who commit sin, and that he will pour out his wrath on everybody who breaks his laws, and that is everybody. And the sentence for guilty criminals is eternal conscious torment. But Jesus, when was the last time you heard that? As opposed to, hey, consider the claims. Look at how it impacted Western civilization. Hey, the Bible, textual criticism reveals that it's accurate. All of which is nice, but that ain't the gospel. When was the last time you heard it clearly proclaimed to, whether it's Joe Rogan or Jordan Peterson or Russell Brand for that matter? I don't know where Russell Brand is. I'm hoping that guy is saved. It seems like he knows the gospel is about forgiveness of sins. I guess I would have to say this. Russell Brand probably comes closer than anybody publicly explaining that the gospel is about being reconciled to a holy God. Short of that, we're hearing talk about Jesus, but I'm not hearing a lot of proclamation about Jesus. And I think we need to make that distinction pretty clear, because we might be, the devil doesn't care if people talk about Jesus. The devil cares if people believe in Jesus. That's what he hates. And so I think this cultural moment, I'm glad that it's not as kooky as it was, say, even a month ago, if that's even an accurate statement. But I don't want to be confused into thinking that people are getting saved all over the place. Back to the quote du jour. This is Tanya Pruitt, Jimmy, because apparently people are getting saved on university campuses, uh-huh. And we hope so. Quote, I am no prophet, but what I do feel like God has shown me. Well, you see, that's what a prophet is. Somebody who is shown something by God and told to speak or do something. So you can't say, I'm no prophet, and then prophesy. But God has shown me is the will, is this will be called the Greater Awakening, and this will be something our nation has never witnessed. Okay, let's see if that prophecy comes true. Now, according to another report on the Christian Post, 2,000 kids apparently at Ohio State had some kind of a response. And I want all 2,000 of them to be saved. I do. And we would rejoice at each and every one of those. But that's hardly a national revival. That's a good thing, but it's not a national revival. And when a woman says, I'm not a prophet, but she reveals all of the visions that God gave to her, it concerns me a little bit. This isn't something that I was going to revisit from our last segment, but nevertheless, I thought it might be helpful. As we go about the business of having to engage in conversation about genders and sex, the HHS has just proclaimed on its website, there's only two sexes. And I think some of their language was actually helpful. This is from Michael Grabowski from the Christian Post. HHS will officially define sex as being someone's immutable biological classification as either male or female. If you're dealing with an unbeliever about the gender issue, tie it to biology. Just and they're going to use the except, well, there's some people who have this or that. Right, those are called deformities. That sometimes people are born with six toes on one foot, but that doesn't mean that it's not a foot. It just means there's a deformity there. This contrasts with the definition of sex under the Biden administration, which included sexual orientation and gender identity. Furthermore, the agency will define female as a person of the sex characterized by a reproductive system that produces eggs, that's female. Male is a person with a reproductive system with the biological function of producing sperm. Okay. I don't know how, except just a rank denial of reality, an unbeliever can reject that. But if they do, I would simply ask them, why don't you trust the science? We're just trusting the science here. This was from the website. There are only two sexes, female and male, because there are only two types of gametes. An individual human is either female or male based on whether the person is of the sex characterized by a reproductive system with the biological function of producing eggs or sperm. So the word that you might want to latch onto here is gamete. The site says sex is unchangeable and determined by objective biology. And by God, but this is our government speaking. The use of hormones or surgical interventions do not change a person's sex because such actions do not change the type of gamete that the person's reproductive system has the biological function to produce. So think gamete. Think reproductive system. If you find yourself in one of these conversations about what is a woman, what is a man, this is the biological aspect. We as Christians, of course, would bring the theological aspect that in the beginning, God created male and female, the end. The HHS contends that rare disorders of sexual development don't equate to a third sex because these disorders do not lead to the production of a third gamete. In other words, the reproductive system with a disorder doesn't produce gametes other than eggs or sperm. That's because there are only two genders. Speaking of the HHS, Robert Kennedy Jr., who is heading it up, not my favorite nominee for that important position because it deals with health issues and it deals with the life issue. And by the way, speaking of the life issue and politics, Southern Baptist Convention wrote a letter to the government saying, defund Planned Parenthood. It's time. Oh, got it right here. Oh, no, that's the SBC, Disfellowship Seven Churches. No, that's not it. The SBC sent a letter that said, you got to put an end to this because it's abominable to those of us who do not support abortion. Quote, end this egregious assault on the consciences of millions of pro-life Americans that has resulted in the unconscionable loss of millions of preborn sons and daughters at the hands of the organization. It's time to take this significant step toward establishing a true culture of life. Now's the time to defund Planned Parenthood. And to that I say, absolutely, positively, but might I suggest, if you're a Christian convention, denomination, church, pastor, or you simply say, I am a Christian, and you speak to government, let's sound like Christians. That means quoting Bible verses. That means saying, this is a wicked abomination. And if you continue to allow money, especially tax money, to go to the funding of the dismembering of children in the womb, you will face God and he ain't going to be happy with you on Judgment Day. Repent and defund Planned Parenthood. RFK is going to take a look at the abortion pill. Robert Kennedy said President Trump asked him to study the safety of the abortion pill after regulations were relaxed under the Biden administration. It can be distributed through mail, ridiculous retail pharmacies, without a woman being seen by a doctor to ensure she doesn't have an ectopic pregnancy. And while that, I think, is obviously a consideration, and that would be the job of HHS, might I suggest it's missing a component, and that would be the moral aspect, that we shouldn't be able to take a pill to terminate the life of our child, because that would be considered in any other circumstance other than this word salad world we live in, murder. That's why we don't want the abortion pill, primarily. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.